I'm Aaron Schachter, and it's The World on your radio. 5 years ago today, Haiti suffered a devastating shock. A massive earthquake rattled the capital, Port-au-Prince, destroying much of the city and its surrounding areas and taking the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. Haitians paused today to mark the somber anniversary. Laura Rose Wagner happened to be there in January 2010 when the quake struck. She was in Haiti doing research for a PhD in cultural anthropology. Fast forward to today, and Wagner is now the author of a novel called Hold Tight, Don't Let Go. It's based on her experiences 5 years ago.
I was standing in a doorway when the house collapsed. And so I was sort of watching, you know, this doorway, this wooden door frame sort of coming at me and, you know, moving back and forth. And I thought, I was very surprised that this was how I was going to die. I just thought, I never anticipated this. And, so the house collapsed. I was on the first floor. Upstairs were my landlady and the woman who worked for her, whose name was Melise. Melise died, we think, pretty much instantly. And I was under the rubble for, I'm not sure, maybe between 2 and 3.5 hours, and rescued that same night by ordinary Haitian people, by friends. I was pretty hurt. I had, like, my left arm was crushed and I couldn't use it. And we weren't sure if that was going to need sort of immediate intervention, some kind of surgery, so I didn't lose the use of my arm because I had a nerve injury.
Well, obviously, it's a pretty traumatic experience, but ultimately what does come out of it is a really spectacular book.
Thank you. The
story is told in the first person in voice of Magdalie, a 15-year-old girl, when the book starts. You are obviously not a 15-year-old girl. You're also not a Haitian girl or a Haitian woman. What was that like? I mean, how did you decide to tell the story in the voice of a Haitian and with a little patois and everything in there?
Yeah, well, I think what interested me about when I thought about young adult lit and the earthquake is that adolescence itself is a time of uncertainty. You're trying to figure out who you are. You're becoming more independent, but you're also dependent on a lot of people. You're trying to figure out who your people are, who your community is. You know, it's this time of constant shifting. And that's also in a different way what the earthquake was like, what the post-earthquake sort of landscape, social landscape was like for people. Who are we now? What is home? Who are our communities? Who are our families? When the sort of expected fabric of society has fallen apart. So I thought, you know, what would a story be like about an adolescent in that kind of situation, in that kind of atmosphere? So that's how that story happened.
The story is a really great reflection on, you know, family coming together and family coming apart, right? You lose people that you love. The novel starts with the loss of Magdalie's mother, right? Mm-hmm. And over the course of the book, she gets together with different family members that she'd never seen before or who she'd seen but, you know, hadn't had much of a relationship with. It's a really interesting look at this, you know, the fabric of families.
Yeah, and that's something that I really wanted to get at, especially in a place like Haiti. There are so many rural to urban migrants and so much sort of back and forth. Most people in Port-au-Prince aren't of Port-au-Prince. They come from somewhere else in the country, and they've come to the capital looking for opportunity. And that's also part of why the earthquake was the disaster it was, because there is way too many people in the capital. And right. There are, you know, very specific historical and political reasons for that. And so for Magdalie, returning ultimately to the countryside and getting to know the place that her mother grew up, I think was really important to sort of recentering herself, because after the earthquake, she's very afraid of connecting and she gets really angry. That's how she does it. She keeps everyone at a distance. She's afraid of attaching to people again, because she knows what it's like to lose everyone. And so that is a place where she finally can kind of let her guard down and connect with people again.
The book is in some ways like a diary. I mean, it, you know, goes through her life chronologically from the day of. Something that she says really stood out for me. She says, there are memories you write down so you can preserve them, this isn't one of them. My memories are out to get me. Mm-hmm. You know, in a lot of ways, her memories are your memories, right? The day of the earthquake, the aftermath, the pain of losing people. Was it hard for you to kind of regurgitate this stuff, or was it therapeutic maybe?
I think part of Magdalie is me. Part of her story is based on other people I knew. Some of it is just imagined. No, it wasn't hard. I think I'm in actually a position of complete privilege, right? You know, I was close enough to, I think, be able to write credibly about it. And I think that was just something I could do just from the beginning, was write about it and not sort of be incapacitated by it, because it affected me, but absolutely not in the way that it affected Haitian people in Haiti. You know, the anger thing, I think I was actually very angry after the earthquake. That was my main sort of way of dealing with it, was you can ask anyone who knew me from about 2010 to 2012, is that I wasn't personally actually at my most charming.
Angry
for
at what?
Of those years.
Or who
injustice.
Were you angry at?
Oh, injustice, the world, the international community, the Haitian government, a God I don't believe in, you know, all of those things. It was just, you know, it's a pretty age-old question about suffering in the world and inequality.
Laura, let me ask you then. Yeah. It's the five-year anniversary. How much do you think life for people in Haiti has changed in that time?
You know, I think it's a really hard question. Superficially, the country doesn't look the same, obviously, as it did 5 years ago, right after the earthquake. Most of the rubble has been cleared. There are far fewer people living under tents, under tarps. In terms of the structural long-term reasons that the earthquake was the disaster it was, those things have not been resolved. And that's actually terrifying. There's, you know, fewer people living in transitional or informal housing, that kind of informal housing. Well, they've just moved into other kinds of informal housing. And they're back living on these, you know, hillside bidonville, shantytown slums in unregulated cement block, cinder block housing. Again, it's like Port-au-Prince has a target on it.
Laura Rose Wagner, author of Hold Tight, Don't Let Go. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
As Wagner mentioned, there's still a huge need for new permanent housing in Haiti 5 years after the quake. Coming up in the second half of the show, we'll visit Village La Différence. That's a new housing development in Haiti's north, built with funding from the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. Residents there enjoy rare luxuries, like running water and reliable electricity. But as we'll hear, it's a struggle to make sure the development's new houses don't fall into disrepair amid Haiti's grinding poverty. And a key to that struggle is a group of women residents who meet weekly to support one another. We'll hear from the women of Village La Différence ahead on The World.